Hello, everyone, and welcome to Feeding Does Matter. I'm Jacqueline Peterson, CEO of Feeding Matters.
Hi, and I'm Haley Estrom, Associate Professor in the School of Nursing at the University of North Carolina, Wilmington. How are you doing today, Jacqueline?
Well, I'm laughing because we always start these with such technological challenges sometimes. And so today was no different, but it's a Monday morning. And so I am, full swing of all the things that we've got going on at Feeding Matters. And just my head's full of a lot of that stuff. So I'm doing well because all the things that we're doing is really exciting. And today we get to talk about one of those things too. So how are you doing?
Yes. Ditto, right?
Ditto, except for you also have a job outside of this and all the exciting things that Feeding Matters are doing.
Yes.
Well, we appreciate you for the time that you give us and all of the work that you do with us. But we are
really
bringing on a different volunteer with us today, who is the committee chair of the Feeding and Eating Psychology Summit. It's with great pleasure that I bring on our committee chair of that summit, Dr. Kristen Hathaway. Kristen, hi. Thanks for coming on.
Hi. I'm really excited to be here.
So, Kristen, can you tell us about how you came to the field of feeding? It's always so interesting to hear how people came to this part of their discipline and how they found their way into it.
Definitely. I obtained my doctorate in school psychology, and I also got my BCBA as well. And during my training, I was always really interested in feeding. I did a placement at a special education preschool, and I just remember how chaotic and stressful meal times were and all of the individual supports needed. And the teachers were trying their best, but it was just a lot to manage. And then the family seemed really overwhelmed with feeding too. And so that was always in the back of my mind. I knew I wanted to work with children and children with developmental disabilities. And so I continued to seek out some feeding experiences, but they were really not easy to find. It was really hard to find someone who did feeding. And so when I completed my predoctoral internship for psychology, I went to Monroe Meyer Institute in Omaha, Nebraska, and did a year in their pediatric feeding disorders program.
Were you in Missouri? Were you working on your doctoral degree?
Yes, did okay. My PhD at University of Missouri, and then went on to Monroe Meyer Institute and did my internship in feeding. And then for my postdoc, I moved to Children's Healthcare of Atlanta and completed it in the feeding program there, and then have stayed ever since. So I'm a licensed psychologist at the Children's Healthcare of Atlanta's multidisciplinary feeding program. And then I got involved with Feeding Matters. Children's Healthcare of Atlanta does a lot with Feeding Matters. And so I got involved with the physician outreach project, creating the modules for pediatric primary care physicians. So I've been involved in that, working closely with Feeding Matters, and then took on this role in December, leading the committee for this psych summit this year.
Wonderful.
Great. That's so fantastic. I know Feeding Matters is so grateful for their volunteers, and the degree of involvement that you've had with them is, I mean, the gratitude that Feeding Matters has for people like you and what you've done is, I know it's deep.
It is. You took the words right out of my mouth, Haley. Kristen, you've brought such value in many different areas within the organization. And so it really is just really incredible how people show up for the community of pediatric feeding. And you're such a pillar of that and a leader. And I think to take on a leadership role is something unique in of itself, because it is a lot to lead something. And so today you know, we wanted to talk more with you about the Feeding and Eating Psychology Summit, which is the committee that you are chair of and the leader of. And so that Feeding and Eating Psychology Summit is happening on August 21st. It's available live as well as on demand. And so we do encourage live participation just because we feel like you get a lot more out of it. But it's certainly available on demand as well. Now, as you were the chair of that committee, and you have amazing committee members around you as well, and so a huge shout out to all of them that are participating in this effort as in really crafting a unique agenda to bring to the community. How did you approach your role as chair, your vision for the Feeding and Eating Psychology Summit, all of that?
It's definitely been a learning experience. I think that's something that I've really grown in, and I've really appreciated just the committee's input. We really built the committee on just respect for each other and disciplines really honoring what they bring to the table, because every discipline may see things a little differently, but we're all on the same team. We all have the same goal for this summit. We really wanted to provide real world, practical and tangible strategies for clinicians from all different disciplines, things that they could actually use. And so just keeping that goal in mind throughout, and balancing everyone's input. And it's been really exciting to work with different disciplines. We have, you know, a speech language pathologist, social worker, some psychologist, a speech language pathologist. So really wanting to show that multidisciplinary aspect. And so as chair, I've really balanced everyone's input and really wanting to come to group decisions together. It hasn't been me making the decisions or one person really leading it. I think that that's something that the committee's done a really great job of.
I agree. And you've really crafted such a phenomenal agenda. And I think the other thing too, and I'm glad you mentioned it, is this is a decision that's made by committee. And so that it does take not only the submission process that happens, but then the rating and the rubric process that happens after that, and then the discussion that happens after that to make it a holistic agenda. So maybe walk us through the process in terms of how, you know, forcing, you know, and we'll talk about the agenda a little bit later, but forcing someone on the agenda, like how that even happens. What's the submission process? How does everybody go through it? What does that look like? For those that may not know, that there is a really intense process to how things get decided at the committee level.
Absolutely. So we asked for submissions earlier this spring. And we had a great number of submissions. And so then as the committee was going through, we do blind them, so we don't know who submitted them, which I think is also really helpful. So it's very objective. And then we have a criteria that we were looking for this summit. And so the committee really discussed together that there were three things we were looking for in submission. So the first one is we wanted to hear about multidisciplinary involvement in the case and the presentation. So that could be walking us through your multidisciplinary assessment process, your treatment model. If you didn't have a multidisciplinary team available to you, how did you work with other disciplines? Did you? Because I think that that is really important. We know not everyone has the luxury of having all disciplines in one place. We know it's actually the opposite. And so we didn't want to discount anyone. We just wanted to hear how did you go about that? Because I know there's others in the same boat that could really benefit from that. So really wanting to hear about the process and then all of the different domain involvement. So the psychosocial, skill, nutrition, and medical. And so that was one category. And then the second category was we wanted to include case studies or real life examples. We know hearing the theory is obviously really important about, you know, what guided you, but we know in treatment, sometimes you have a family in front of you and you just need to kind of go through and figure out how can I help this family right now? What are the real like practical things I can do? And so really wanting to hear about the case studies, the complexities. We know PFD is complex. And so really wanting to hear about what influenced your case conceptualization, what other things you consider. And then lastly, the lived experience. So Feeding Matters is really highlighting the lived experience. We know that that's really important in treatment. And so we really wanted to hear about how the lived experience was incorporated, whether it was, you know, a survey that you gave the family on their treatment perceptions, or if the family reported different things through treatment of how they were feeling or how this felt to them. So we wanted to include that. So those were really the three things that we looked for. And we really wanted them to be in depth. We didn't want it to just be, I used this model. What did that model look like? Can you tell us more about it? Did it work? Did it not work? And did you pivot? And so those are the three things that we really wanted to highlight. So excited for both parents and clinicians. I think it's that we tailored it to both.
So when we see a presentation in the summit, will we expect to see all three things within one presentation, or how will that come through?
Great question. So yes, expect to see a little bit of each of those in each presentation. Some may lean a little heavier on one of the categories than the other, but all three of them are supposed to highlight these three criteria. And the committee also, one thing I'll add, is reviewed handouts for the presentations that are coming up next month. And so we were able to really make sure they hit all of these criteria as well.
Thank you. Yep. And you mentioned the case study piece being a really important piece for what we were looking for out of the session. And I know time and time again, the feedback that we're getting from our attendees is we want real life circumstances. We want tangible things that we can attend on Friday and turn around on Monday and implement. And so you and the committee did a great job of really thinking about how can you make it really tangible and also embrace the complexity that this issue brings. So maybe talk to me a little bit about what you're hoping attendees walk away from this in terms of meeting that need of wanting something really tangible that they can implement.
I think one piece that, as I was reviewing some of the handouts that are tangible, there are a couple of talks that really think through the relationship with the family. So I know the theme is the care we share. And so thinking about what are some practical strategies we can use when working with families. So we do have one talk that is focused on cultural considerations and feeding treatment. And I'm really excited about that one. And so we know feeding, there's a lot of cultural and shared social experiences in that. And so there's some really clear things that'll be outlined in the talk and the assessment and also in the treatment. Like, what are things you can take back on Monday when you're working with a family? What are things you can consider? So that's one example. And then a couple other talks really talk about the parent-child relationship and different strategies that can be used, different questions that can be asked, and how to support that. And so I think that those are just a couple examples.
Yeah, no, they're great. And so it really does seem like you all took that feedback and we're trying to figure out how we implement it and make sure attendees are happy and being able to integrate what they're hearing, that it's not just the theory-based stuff, but there's a little bit of theory mixed with multidisciplinary, mixed with case, and of course, making sure lived experience is integral to all of it. So you did mention the theme, the care we share. How does the committee and how do those things get decided and how do you approach really trying to live that vision as you are crafting an agenda?
So it was definitely almost half of the committee meeting was spent coming up with the theme because we want it to be intentional and really representative. We don't just want to slap a theme on there and say that's our theme. And so quite a bit of going back and forth of different thoughts. We knew we really wanted to focus on the connection piece with families. And so involving them in treatment, we also were thinking about, you know, is it the connection we share? Should we do the care we share? Like kind of thinking through what we wanted it to represent, but really the connection between all of the disciplines, the connection between the discipline or the multidisciplinary team and the family. So really putting the family at the center of it and that we're all on the same team, all trying, you know, we all want the best for the child. And so really listening to the family because we know they're the experts on their child. That's a phrase that I use so often in clinic to families. I say, you're the expert on your child. Tell me more about like what they've experienced. What are things that they like? What are maybe their goals? And so that's kind of what we're hoping that all of the sessions, the overarching theme, that we get to that as well.
I love that. It is. It's the care we share. So let's maybe dive into the agenda and share with everybody what they're looking to expect for attending. So like I said, it's available live and on demand. So really encourage you to join us live, but it will also be available on demand. It's the one day, August 21st. And so it starts at 9 a.m. Eastern time. And it starts with you, lived experience lightning talk. So maybe share with us that side or what even a lightning talk is for people that may not know.
Sure. So lightning talk is just a shorter talk. So it'll be pretty brief, but it'll just talk a little bit more about the lived experience, hear from a family and their experience. So it'll be short, but just a good way to kick us off and have that lived experience front of mind the first session.
Perfect. Yeah, I'm always grounding us before we go into our sessions for the day. And so then next after that is Early Relational Health, the Foundation of Feeding Care with Tiffany Elliott. Maybe share more about that one, Kristen.
So this session really highlights the relationship between a caregiver and child in the context of feeding. So it really provides a great framework, tools, and tips for sharing the care and collaborating with families to support that relationship even from a young age.
Yeah, because that's the thing is you all are looking at this across so many different age spans. Mm-hmm. So if you're a PFD provider, if you're an ARFID provider, if you're working with super young infants to toddlers and older children and maybe even adolescents and older, like you're still going to get something out of this. And so you did also kind of approach like how are we supporting all of our patients?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So then the next one looks really interesting as well. The Feeding Story Framework, a Narrative Approach to Feeding Assessment by Lauren Charnov.
So this one is really interesting. It focuses a little bit more on the assessment piece. So really thinking about why feeding histories and experiences matter and really challenging us to include that in our assessment to guide treatment. Feeding difficulties didn't occur just overnight. Most of the time, it's been a long journey. And so this really thinks about diving deeper and asking more questions, getting the full context and history to then guide treatment. And so it also helps you think that it's more than just your one-time observation in an evaluation. It's getting that full history. So really excited. I think there's also a lot of great tips that'll come out of this one for really impacting the way that you do assessments. Maybe you'll want to add some different questions after hearing this talk.
Yeah. And I mean, Lauren, I'm sure will approach this because it's an odyssey that we Haley and I always talk about when we're interviewing guests, their journeys and the long journeys and all these things. And Haley one time on the podcast was like, it's not a journey. It's an odyssey.
A diagnostic odyssey.
Yeah. To come in and be kind of like stuck in a way in your assessment and not be able to tell the full story. It'll be really interesting to see what Lauren's got for us in terms of like questions to really approach that from that story perspective too. Next is, I think, the one you were talking about with Dr. Ryan Davidson, the importance of cultural feeding practice awareness within PFD and ARFID. Super excited to jump into that because, like you said, feeding is cultural. It's a huge part of all of it. Any other thing that sticks out to you for that presentation for people to look forward to?
Don't want to give too many spoilers and specifics of this one. Yeah. But as I was looking over the handout and materials, I am just really excited. I think people will leave once again with some actionable things that they can implement on Monday, different questions to ask in the assessment or treatment considerations. I know as I was thinking through, I was like, like the presentation lists out like, here's one thing to consider. And I was like, I hadn't thought about these, but don't want to give too many spoilers. But I think this will be a great one as well.
Yep. Yep. No spoilers. We want to hear everybody's thoughts after they see it all. Yeah. And the thing is, our speakers are working so hard as well. I know we did a huge shout out to our conference, our like summit chair, our committee chair, our committees, to putting this agenda together. And then Athena, who is the staff liaison and lead for both conference and Psych Summit. But those of you that are speakers that we're calling out right now, like you have done such a great job of being intentional about how you're thinking about presenting this, meeting all of those kind of requirements that the committee has of being multidisciplinary and having that lived experience and having the case studies. So huge shout out to all of our speakers who are doing such amazing work to make sure that this is a top tier educational event. And so Dr. Sonia Trejo, Honoring Layers of Complexity, a deep dive into the case of Leo. So it says right there in the title, we're going to get some case and really, really meaty information from her. Anything else you want to add to that?
I think one thing about this one is that it really highlights all the complexities that we talk about when considering treatment for PFD and or ARFID, thinking about the child's development, comorbid diagnoses, trauma, culture, lived experience. So this one really highlights so many of those things and how you have to balance all of those as you're assessing and treating. So I think this will also be really helpful, very practical to see how, you know, they walked through the case. So excited for this one too.
Yep, definitely. And that actually leads right into the next one, which I think is really a nice design as you all thought about like how you were placing everybody along the agenda, which is navigating the PFD and ARFID overlap, which is an ongoing challenge for everybody in this field. Share more about why you felt like that was an important session, because I think it tells us what we're going to get out of that session. But anything you want to add to that?
I know that this is an area that we continue to talk about, the overlap between PFD and ARFID, but also the differences as well. And knowing we have a range of providers and then a range of caregivers with children with either PFD and or ARFID. And so this one will really talk through some case examples and talk about navigating how you keep that in the front of mind when you're thinking of assessment and treatment as well. So pretty, I think, self-explanatory what it's going to cover, but I think people will be really excited for this session.
Yeah, especially the very specific case studies and working through those, because I think, you know, in being a part of the work of navigating the overlap and really trying to have a lot of those conversations, I think that's where you end up kind of getting stuck sometimes. Yeah. Is, you know, we can put a diagnostic label on something or we can call something this, but it's when you're in the messy middle of it that that we've got to work through what's really needed for to support our patient, to support our caregivers, and move forward that way.
I think it'll be especially helpful to give those examples and make it more actionable for people to take home and to have on their Monday.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think, like we've talked about, kind of the age and range of PFD and or ARFID that we see, making sure that we also have some ARFID examples with some adolescents or a little bit older children. To really balance out that range. I think that that's something the committee also wants to keep front of mind.
Yeah, because and as we see, as children are aging and growing out of childhood and into adolescence, mm-hmm. they're facing different things on their feeding journey. Right. And that is where, you know, a lot of the ARFID work is doing a lot to really think about what do adolescents need and how does that shape mm-hmm. as you go out and be an independent person in the world. So definitely a lifespan approach for that, navigating the overlap as well. So you can expect support for all of the age groups in that session. The next is Dr. Carmen Crothers, which is Integrating Structured Teaching, TEACCHING, into Pediatric Feeding Care for Autistic Patients. So any highlights there?
I think this one is, so if we have any BCBAs or any providers that are working with children with autism, I think this will be really beneficial. We know PFD and ARFID are more common in children with autism. And so this really looks to provide some support and strategies. The session will go through the model, but then also give you some practical considerations in treatment strategies to try with children with autism. So I think this will be really helpful. It can also be helpful if you're working with a patient that doesn't have autism. There's still great strategies provided, but that's the main focus of this one.
Yeah, wonderful. Next is a return speaker, Dr. Amy Talbot, who had a session that got a lot of great feedback last year too. But she's talking about, what are we measuring? What are we missing? Rethinking outcomes in ARFID and PFD.
So this one, I think is a great one near the end. To really think about, a lot of times, you know, we're focused on, okay, what is the child eating? What's their variety, the volume? What does maybe the routine look like around feeding, the behaviors? But this session will really challenge us to think about what else we can include to really think about, are we making clinical progress? And are we really considering the family into our outcome measures? And so I think this will be a great one to really think about. Are there things we could change? Are there different, like, surveys we could do with families, or different questions to really ask, like, are we actually helping you? Are we making this feasible? And so I'm really excited for this one as well.
Yeah, it's kind of leaning into that curiosity. Like, the only way we're improving our own practices are by being curious about them. That's great. Great to hear. And then the final session is the keynote. We did the keynote at the end this time. That was, as you all put together the agenda, I thought it's going to really, like, wrap it all up together. So the keynote is Dr. John Leisiker, who you all may be familiar with because he was the keynote of the conference and is the ethicist lead for the Center for Feeding Ethics, which is the collaboration between Feeding Matters and Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. John is also director of ethics at Emory University. And his keynote session is really leaning into the theme, the care we share, and it's ethics across the table. So any thoughts on that, Kristen, or why you all felt it was important to ensure that this was the keynote and that you did have John at the end to wrap it all up?
We spent quite a bit of time talking about the keynote and what we really wanted to, you know, hit on as a committee. And I think with the launch of the Center for Feeding Ethics, we just wanted to keep ethics at the front of mind, especially as we're talking about the psychology and the psychology summit. There's a lot of ethics in care. And so really wanting to include him just to keep it ethics in front of mind. And the committee at our upcoming meeting is going to talk about what questions and how we really want to guide this conversation. I know one of the things that we really want to highlight is, how do we bring together patients, families, therapists to really share that care? And what does that look like when considering ethics of different providers? And so I think this will be a really interesting conversation. And the committee is being really intentional about what we're going to have you and John discuss.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't mention that, but I'll be on with John. So it'll be myself and John, and it'll be a bit of a discussion. I think it'll be nice because we'll, like I said, it's good to join live because you'll be able to see, like, how things have evolved throughout the day, and we will be able to discuss how things have evolved throughout the day, and then also get to some of those questions that you as a committee are developing for what is worth addressing. And I think you said it best. This is a psychology summit, and this feeding and eating has such a psychological component, whether that is the focus of your intervention or not. And that with it comes so many ethical considerations, ethical considerations for any number of different variables within a assessment, a treatment, a support, any sort of journey. And so it'll be nice to really dive into this together and really think about what do ethics look like. And just a genuine thank you to you and the committee for thinking about making sure ethics is a part of this conversation as well. With the launch of the Center for Feeding Ethics, we really want to make sure we're continuing to touch base with our community around ethics. This is not for us at Feeding Matters. The Center for Feeding Ethics is not just a project that we're just going to, like, do and be done with and mark it off the list. Like, this is a full change in terms of how we want to see this field advance and the next 20 years of this field look like. And that takes a lot of conversations and back and forth. And so thanks for having him be the keynote at the conference as well, because I think it's going to be so great to be able to have that real time conversation.
Absolutely. And one thing that I forgot to mention is that the registration question actually asks, what is one ethical dilemma that you feel feeding providers are facing. And so that'll also give the committee, but then also Feeding Matters as well, some information about what people are actually experiencing day to day and really help kind of guide the Center for Feeding Ethics and probably some of this keynote as well.
That's excellent.
Yep. We're always building towards the future. So we've got exactly what we're working on in terms of like the quote unquote project that's under the Center for Feeding Ethics right now. But then, yeah, this conversation is part of that. This conversation leads to ideas. And for those of you that have joined us in live sessions before, I think you see that ideation happen in real time. And then hopefully you see how that's then used to guide the planning and the things and projects that we do at Feeding Matters. So your voice really does matter in that. We always picture these virtual events as community-based events, that it is all of us together kind of learning and building this together. So really encourage all of you to come join us at the Feeding and Eating Psychology Summit on August 21st. Spend the day with us. Anything else? And then we'll have closing remarks from Kyler Romeo. And she probably will mention an ethics thing too, because she is the co-PI with Haley on the Center for Feeding Ethics. Mm-hmm. So anything that I forgot, Kristen, about the Feeding and Eating Psychology Summit that you're excited to share with the community?
I think we covered most of it. The other plug for it is, of course, there's continuing education credits available as well. So that can also influence maybe you joining. But we really hope to see a lot of people there joining live if possible. But no, we're really excited. I think the committee did a great job and that people will take a lot from it.
How many continuing education credits would someone get?
Anywhere between 5.5 and 6.5, depending on your discipline. We are approved by ASHA, AOTA, CDR, and then currently in the process of getting BCBA CEUs approved. So anywhere between 5.5 and 6.5.
Well, it's great to have so many different kinds. That's wonderful.
Yep. Yep. And if your discipline isn't listed, we do offer a general certificate as Feeding Matters builds to offering more and more discipline accreditation, because we know that continuing education is a huge part of why someone may want to attend our events. And
So
we are trying to meet that need too. Well, Kristen, thank you for all you're doing to make this summit the best, even amongst all of the things that you've got going on too. I'm just going to end on the 4 C's, because I think you talked about it a lot. The Psychology Summit's theme is the care we share. And I know that the committee really spent a lot of time picking the care we share out, but there were so many other words that were a part of that. And so I am so looking forward to not only the care piece, the collaboration piece, the connection piece, and also the cultural piece at the Feeding and Eating Psychology Summit on August 21st. And I guess my 5th C would be case studies too. So thanks for everything. And we'll see you on the 21st. And thanks for coming on to share more. Have a great one, everyone.